example, that he was a big proponent of paying your taxes, which we did not know until we dug into the scriptures a little bit, and how he was a feminist. He was very much into women having equal rights to men and treating them with honor, with respect, with dignity, which was not really all that cool in his time and culture at the time. So we actually did a whole bunch of different themes over the past couple weeks. If you missed them, or if you're interested in just catching up on the ones that you did miss, again, our website, if you just type, just Google CTF High Park, you will pull up our website and you can get all of them on MP3. You can also apparently subscribe to our podcast where you will get it all. So today we are kicking off, it's my lovely husband. Today we're kicking off a theme on honor. So we're kicking off a theme on honor. It's going to be going pretty much for the month of July. So if you're into honor and you like scheduling, because I like scheduling and planning ahead, July is our honor month. So come on out and tell people to come out as well. And today we're just kind of doing an intro on honor. How many of you guys, just blurt out, we're not going to do like a hands up thing. Again, there's just a few of us, so it's a little bit awkward if we were like, ma'am, I have an answer. Throw out, pretend you're a thesaurus right now. And throw out some words that, like word association with the word honor. What does that mean to you guys? What are some other words for honor? What does it make you think of? Respect? That's good. I was going to say no answer is a wrong answer, but if you say ferret, then that would be a wrong answer, for example. Unless you really honor ferrets. I don't know what it is about ferrets this morning. Anyone else? Honor? Respect? R-E-S-P-E-C. What was that? Ooh, acknowledging the goodness in a person. I like that. That's good. Dignity, that's good. I serve something else. Serving, okay, that's good. To honor someone is to serve them. Prefer, that's good. Anyone else? I actually looked it up. Both Andrew and myself are kind of like word nerds. So I looked it up in the thesaurus, and I had a lot of different, it's a noun, but it's also a verb. So I looked those all up and the Latin and everything, which I'm not going to bore you with this morning. Sometimes I do. I pull out the Latin. Everyone's like, ugh, so boring. But I actually found it really interesting that it generally it has to do with, often we talk about like, you know, honor your father and mother, or your honor your authority figures. So it's basically honoring, giving people their rightful place in your life. So it's like a personal thing, personal honor. But there's also like most of the words that had to do with honor had to do with something on a large scale. So it was like the guest of honor was able to make a speech at like the blah, 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 whatever it was. So it's people like royalty. It's people like dignitaries or people who go from one country and they represent ambassadors. They represent themselves or their country at another country. So it's something that's actually, it's very public. It's very much like everyone must honor this guy or this lady for whatever reason. It's just something that's like demanded of society. So there's personal honor, but there's also public honor as well. And we're going to get into that.
Okay, let's pray. Father, we love you. We love your spirit. We love that you're bringing us truth and you're changing us. And we need more of that. So come this morning. We open our hearts to you, open our minds to you. Spirit of truth, spirit of wisdom and revelation, you're welcome here. And we want to hear your voice today, Father. I ask for real rhema, living, an active word, truth for each person here, God, today. Let it not just be, you know, stuff that Sarah and I have researched or our thoughts, but I ask that you would communicate what people need today to help us grow. Yeah. In Jesus' name. Do you have your Bibles? If you have your Bibles, flip to Romans chapter 5.
Or your iBibles.
Your eyeballs.
Your eyeballs.
I'm just
going to keep it. That's funny. Okay. It's too loud. It's funny. I can't remember where we were. I don't think it was here.
That's better.
But someone said, open your Bibles or turn to page whatever. And growing up in the church, I always remember hearing like the very thin pages of a Bible going like as everyone turns, yeah, that. And I was like, I always like that rustly little sound. Now everyone's face goes blue. Ding. That's how people open their Bibles. Everyone's face was glowing. I was like, it's true. I looked around and there was most of the people's face were like white or blue.
Anyway, that's good. Thank you, lover. We want to look at to a bunch of passages. We're going to look at what Scripture says. Today we wanted to specifically focus on the way the Lord honors us. Now, this is something that can make us squirm a little bit because we have an understanding of how to honor dignitaries. So right now, you know, our prince, the heir to the British and the throne and Canadian throne, is in Canada right now with his lovely new wife, which we're very excited about. And it's incredible. I don't know if you've seen any of the news in the newspaper or online or, you know, on television. It's incredible the effort that's being put into honoring William and Kate. It's ridiculous. And so we had this understanding that honor is, it's expressed and it's outward. But understanding a dimension of the way the Lord honors us, I think, is actually so important before we can honor. I can't honor unless I've been honored. In the same way, like a child can't love unless a child's been loved, right? Usually, you know, we need to have input before we can have output, and that's one of the ways the Lord's created us, is that we need input if we're going to have output. Romans chapter 5, interestingly, says, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless. So we weren't like the prince, you know? We weren't like William, resplendent and worthy of respect. When we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, it unpacks in a little bit of a different way, and I want to look at it from a few different perspectives, because I feel like Ephesians chapter 2, we're familiar with this, and I myself at this church have preached it probably 5 or 6 times. So don't tune out. We're going to look at it from a few perspectives. Let's read it first. Ephesians 2 says, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, you know, absolutely deserving of honor, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you've been saved. Amen? Okay. Amen? Amen? Thank you. And God raised us up with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Okay, so Ephesians 2 lays out two really important principles of our faith. The first is, we are not loved or forgiven because of what we have done. Yay. How many of you are thankful for that? And the other thing is that we cannot love or do to get our salvation. Salvation is not by works, so that no one can boast. It is by grace that we've been saved. It's a gift of God. So I can't act good to make God love me or forgive me or give me salvation. And I can't act bad to make him stop loving me or stop giving me salvation or refuse to give me salvation. In fact, it's his decision. It's completely independent of me. It's such a parental kind of thing. He's like, I just love you. You're my child. I created you. I love you. Now, we're familiar with this, but when we really start to meditate, if you really start to meditate on this truth and the way the Lord has chosen to love us and forgive us and take us from darkness into light, actually it will do such a deep thing of honor in your heart. It'll release such a deep sense of value and worth in you. So what I want to do is look at this familiar passage in Ephesians chapter 2 that you've heard a bunch of times. I want to look at it in a different way. So bear with me, because it's rare for me to do more digital kind of, or obvious kind of demonstrations. Okay, so that's us. That's you and me. Yeah, that's you and me right there. Isn't it perfect? I don't know why we're waving, but it's just like happy. That's you and me. And so Ephesians 2 says that because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made you and me right there alive with Christ. Even though before we were dead in our transgressions. So here's you and me, and we're dead in our transgressions there, and we're relatively unhappy about that. But this is where we were. And the thing is, humanity was completely unable to help itself, right? We were dead in our transgressions, and we were doing everything we could, you know, to try and obtain the honor that God had for us, to try and reach that pinnacle of forgiveness, that place of right standing with him, sacrificing tons of animals and doing terrible things to our minds and our bodies and our relationships with other people, just to try and position ourselves to a place where God would think we're cool again. But unfortunately, because we were dead, we were completely unable to help ourselves. Now, Ephesians 2 goes on and it says, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us. For it's by grace that we've been saved through faith. This is not from ourselves, it is the gift of God. So what God has done is he's made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in our transgressions. Now, that life of Christ, it overtakes all of the old life, all of the old death, all of the old transgressions, all of that old mentality has actually been overwritten now. And we live in this ever-increasing life that God has given us because of his grace. And it's just because he's chosen to lavish it on us. He's chosen to honor us. He's chosen to give us the spirit of honor. Now, every time that you and I, now, I've chosen to do this like this because the transgressions is still just slightly apparent, right? Every time you and I act in dishonor towards our own selves, in our thoughts, in our behavior, let's face it, most of the time it's in our thoughts, right? In our thought life, the things we think about ourselves, oh, that was worthless, or man, I can't get that right, I can never get anything right, or those little confessions of our hearts, right? I'm so dumb. Those little things that we confess, or we think, or we let kind of sit, and we meditate on, we chew on, Those little things, those are still areas of transgression that I believe in my life are areas where I need to let the honor and the love of God be manifest. So what I'm learning to do, I mean, like, I'm still getting this, but I'm learning when I realize I've been on like a train of thinking about, I'm driving somewhere and I'm thinking about that stupid thing that I did wrong and I can't do anything right. And when I reach the end of that train and I get to a point where I can hear Holy Spirit again, or I choose to tune into him again, the Lord always says to me, I have a different perspective. Would you like to hear my perspective? And his perspective is never, Andrew, you've done all these things wrong, so I've chosen to stop loving you. Would you please get your stuff together? It's never that. Of course, it's never that. His answer is always, I want to show you the incomparable riches of my grace. How does that sound? It's completely free. And I come with all my buts. No, but I didn't deserve it, right? That little transgressions, I can still see. It's still available. God, I know it's still there. And he's like, that's irrelevant. My grace is increasing in every area of your life. I love you. I think you're amazing. And the more we are tapping into, the more I'm tapping into that voice, and I'm welcoming the love of God and welcoming the forgiveness and the grace of God, the less and less and less and less and less that transgression is even available to me anymore, right? And I think really, truly, this is Christianity 101. This is the thing that we all come back to again and again and again. It's the fact that God's crazy about us. And nothing we do will change that. Okay. Anyway. Yeah. Let's go on.
What we also wanted to show you is just kind of where we started from. And more importantly, where we're going. Because if we don't know where we started from or where we're going, then we're just kind of like a candle in the wind, fluffing around. So what I love is that the honor that Jesus bestowed on us once he died, he took all that death and all those transgressions. He, again, like that black hole, he was just like, he took it all upon himself so that we get the honor. Basically, we get the realization of the honor that God always had for us, if that makes sense, right? It's not like he's like, now I can give you honor because, you know, my son died for you. Before you were a schmuck, but now you're pretty cool. He basically had that honor for us all the time, but because of our sin and because of our death and our transgressions, we could never see it. So what Jesus kind of gave us was like windshield wiper eyes. He was able to like clear them off so that we could see the honor that God had for us all along. And I just wanted to dive into these passages from Hebrews 2, which is great. I like because it's New Testament, but it's actually talking about what happened before Jesus came. So it's like both and all together. It is not to angels that he, we're talking about God in this case, has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. Okay, pause. Hebrews can be a little bit like blah, 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 and therefore heretofore, and there, yeah. So basically he's saying the world to come, which is the future. the world of the future, everything that is happening right now, everything that will happen in eternity, that's what he's talking about. He didn't subject all of that to the angels. We as a people group, I mean, even if we don't believe in God, we think angels are pretty cool, right? We have like TV shows about them. They're like invisible. They have big wings. Sometimes they have swords. Sometimes they have harps. Sometimes they're babies, which is just confusing. But generally, we think that they're pretty cool. They're mystical. They're like supernatural. They have powers that we don't have. They're able to like go from one place to another. They're able to like show up and help people and give guidance. And, you know, we're always like, oh, angels. Like, as far as the hierarchy goes, we assume that like there's God and like angels are probably second coolest. And then there's us way down here because we're just like, eh. We're stuck in traffic or we like pick our noses or whatever we do. So, but it wasn't to the angels, who we assume are cooler than us, that God gave basically the entire world. Yeah. He was like, yeah, angels, you know, you're pretty cool. I gave you the wings, but that's pretty much as far as it goes. I'm going to give the universe to my kids. Isn't that cool? I just find that so cool. Anyway, but there's a place where someone has testified, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, a son of man that you care for him? And this can be us sometimes. Who am I, God? I'm a schmuck. Sometimes we feel that about ourselves, that we're like, I'm nothing, God. You made them, as in humans, a little lower than the angels. Or actually in one translation, it says, for a little while, he made man lower than the angels. Oh, I can't wait. Just a little while, you know, for right now. He's like, yeah, I'm going to give them like, sun, like skin that sunburns sometimes and like hair that falls out. But after a while, man, they're going to get like, super upgrade. You crown them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. Think about it. I love going back to babies because we're basically all babies in God's eyes anyway. He just thinks that we're so cute and he wants to kiss us all the time. Think about baby Emma who like poops herself and after she eats, she like spits up all over. These type of humans. This is who God is giving the universe to be put under subjection under Emma's feet. We'd be like, really? Do you think maybe she's not qualified, not quite qualified? Maybe she should get some training or something to rule the universe. And God's like, no, I like humans. They're cool. They're my favorite. In putting everything under them, try to get this through this mind, putting everything under you, under your jurisdiction. This is the honor that he's giving you. So we were first talking about like the private honor that God gives you because he just loves you and he made you alive, although you were dead in transgressions. Now we're talking about a public forum. God's like, my kids are the best. I'm giving them everything. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet, at present, we do not see everything subject to them. I love that. It's almost like small. It's like the tiny print. Wait a minute. But we don't actually see everything subject to them. By the way, in the message, this reads really cool as well. It says, you made them not quite as high as the angels, or again, for a time, they're not quite as high as the angels, bright with Eden's dawn light. Then you put them in charge of your entire handcrafted world. Isn't that cool? But we do see Jesus. So basically, it's supposed to be subjected to us. It's not quite yet. So we're like, we see a bit of a dichotomy here. We have a problem. It's supposed to be subjected to us. But it's not. So where's the problem? Well, we do see Jesus, who was also made a little lower than the angels for a little while, because he's not anymore, right? We see Jesus in Revelation, and he's like crazy. His face is on fire. He's got this huge sword. He's on a horse. He's really intense. Now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he may taste death for everyone. That's what Andrew was talking about. He made us fully alive, although we were dead in our transgressions. He took it all upon himself. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was us to glory. Now we're in the same glory that Jesus is in. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. So Jesus was our pioneer. He did it first. He came from heaven's realms, owning everything, creating everything, being there before the world was, you know, when the Spirit of God hovered upon chaos, basically, and was like, let's make a universe. God's like, that's cool. Jesus is like, I'm right behind you. So they're making the universe. Jesus actually decided to demote himself to a little baby human. We were just talking about babies recently, and we're like, could you imagine, like, sometimes it's just weird. Obviously, we're talking about babies. But we're talking about babies because we're like, Jesus was a baby. Jesus was like, he needed to be changed. Jesus, Son of God, created the universe, needed to be changed. It's just mind-blowing. And he came as one of us, as a representation, almost like an ambassador from heaven, but basically represented the kingdom of heaven in this tiny little human package, and took upon himself all of our sins, we didn't have to deal with it anymore, and basically revealed to us again, by the way, you are honored. All of the universe is subjected to you. You just didn't know it up until this point. But now, with the knowledge that you have, act differently. Act like I act. I know that I'm a son. I know that everything is like subjected to me. I'm not where I don't have confidence issues. Jesus didn't have confidence issues, right? Both the one who makes people holy, that's Jesus, and those who are made holy, that's us, are the same family. Same, same. As they would say in Korea and Thailand. Same, same, but different. Same, same. So Jesus was not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. Again, that's us. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here I am, and the children God has given me. So again, Jesus, in being resurrected and now having his like his body and his form and his rule that we see in Revelation, that's awe-inspiring and basically causes people to fall down as if they were dead when they see him, very overwhelming, he's saying, all these kids, they're exactly the same as me. Just remember this on the days that you're like, you think that you're a bit of a schmuck, or you're having a bit of a bad day, you're having a problem with the honor thing. Just remember, this is what Jesus says about you in front of everybody. We're not even just talking about like the physical Jesus that was here, you know, in Israel and talked about his kids this way. We're talking about the fact that now he's seated at the right hand of the Father and he's bragging about you to the angels, to the principalities and powers, basically anything that will listen. He's saying, my kids are the bomb. They're the coolest. I honor them publicly, supernaturally. Since children have flesh and blood, he too shared their humanity so that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by fear of death. That's us. We have no fear. We can have the same confidence that Jesus walked around with, which is nothing can touch us. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he, Jesus, had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffer when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Again, he made that possible for us to realize, okay, well, I'm not all those things that Andrew was saying before. I'm not stupid. I'm not worthless. I'm not a nobody. I mean something, and not just to like one or two people. I mean something to the creator of the universe. So who am I to say that I have no honor if he's shouting it from like the galaxies? Isn't that cool? This is kind of where we came from. God blessed them and said to them, this is way back in the beginning, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So we are the world's caretakers. That was always our heritage. Now we kind of lost the plot in there somewhere, right? So this is Genesis. In Revelation, we see, you know, Jesus riding on the horse full of fiery awesomeness, and he's saying, these are my kids. So what happened in the middle between like the first book of the Bible and the last book of the Bible? We kind of lost the plot a little bit. Like Andrew said, we tried to strive. We're like, maybe if we're perfect, maybe if we're blameless, maybe if we're righteous, maybe if we do all the right things, then God will honor us. Maybe. And not even really honor, because we're so lowly and so, he wouldn't really honor us. He'd probably just maybe not kill us. That's what we were kind of hoping. For a few generations, I'd have to say, of humans. We're just hoping that they wouldn't be obliterated by God. And God's like, no, don't you remember? This was your original calling. I haven't taken that away from you. You've just become blinded. You forgot that this is what you were made to do. I didn't take that role away from you. It's just that you forgot to ever pick it up. And then this is where we are now. For the creation, that's everything that we're supposed to be ruling, waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. We are galactic royalty. That's our role now. And so again, we were talking about kicking off this whole series on honor. We were talking about, you know, honoring other people. And again, we're going to go into some of those themes later on, you know, like honoring your parents and honoring, you know, people that we know that we should honor, but often we take it from that middle portion of the Bible. You know, we should honor people because that's what God asks us to do, and we have to give him all honor and glory and praise and amen. But do we know why we're actually even doing that? Or are we just doing it by memorization because somebody told us, you know, in Sunday school once that that's what we should do? And unless we actually understand how much we're honored, then all of a sudden, you know, the guy who cuts us off on the highway, we can actually honor and respect him because we know we have nothing to prove. We're fully confident. We're confident like Jesus. So we can be like, I honor you. You are also a child of God. You're made in his image. You're royalty just like me. There's more than enough highway for all of us. And you can actually live a life that is much more rooted in the honor that God gave you to begin with and is gradually being more and more revealed as we go along than trying to prove yourself or trying to cut other people down or cut yourself down in some sort of self-debasement thing that we get into.
Case in point, this weekend in Toronto, it's Pride, the Pride events.
Parade.
Sarah and I have been, like, there's been a lot of response amongst Christians in Toronto in particular because we have such an enormous I don't want to say celebration or whatever it is, events. The events are quite substantial in Toronto. People come from all over the world to the Pride events in Toronto, and so, you know, the churches in Toronto have had lots of opportunity to kind of share our opinions, to weigh in. And I mean, I've heard lots of really interesting things about that perspective. But I feel like, you know, that if you've experienced lots of grace, then you are eager to give lots of grace. And I feel like sometimes in the church we make the mistake of looking at an event like the Pride Parade that for many of us grieves our hearts because we're like, I don't want my city to be a place where we're like celebrating homosexuality. I want my city to be a place where we're like, you know, celebrating healthy families and love and like unity. But I feel like the moment we change our desire for love and unity and healthy families in our city, we change that to a finger pointed at another person. The moment that we do that, I think we've made two mistakes. Firstly, we've made the mistake that we've judged and we've not come in God's heart. But secondly, we have mistaken the fact that we have been given grace. Because if I've been given grace and I've been forgiven much, there's no way I could ever point a finger at another person. I love that Paul calls himself the greatest of all sinners. And I feel like, I'm not sure that it necessarily Paul, if we accumulate, you know, if somehow in the annals of history, we add up all the sins of Paul, that he actually was the greatest sinner. I'm not sure that's the case. I think what he was saying was, I have an extreme awareness of how needy I am of grace. And if I have an extreme awareness of how much I need grace and how much God gives me grace, then I am very eager to share that with everyone around me. Then my perspective on something like the Pride Parade today isn't, Lord, send fire and brimstone. Instead, it's, Lord, would you show them grace in the same way you've showed me grace? Would you show them love in the same way you've shown me love? And God, exactly. Secondly, how can I demonstrate that grace that you've shown me? Right? Now, that's something we're going to talk about this month. We're going to talk about, like, the outward action of grace in our lives. And I think we can almost use the words grace and honor interchangeably in this discussion about honor. But today, I think what we want to do is we want to take a few minutes and just pray for ourselves. I want us to pray for us today. Time's running out. But I want us to take a couple minutes and just receive grace from him. So why don't you close your eyes and actually hold your hands out? And what I want each one of us to do, Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you'd help us to recognize those areas where we feel like we still have a foot left in transgression, where we are still living in that in between mode, because all of creation is eagerly waiting for us to step up, you know, in honored, empowered in you, God. And so, Lord, right now, each one of us, we receive a fresh release of your grace. I ask, Holy Spirit, for a fresh release of your grace in this room. Lord, let your grace, not because we've earned it, as a free gift, an incomparably rich gift of your grace, God, would you release that right now to each one of us? And that grace, it means that we're forgiven. It means that we're whole. It means that we meet every standard, that there isn't a standard we still have to meet. There's nothing left for us to do to obtain your life and to obtain your honor, God. And God, I thank you for that. I thank you for rest that's coming to people's hearts, God, where some of us have been like really pushing and striving, God, to get your affection and your love. God, right now we lay that mentality aside and we receive grace. So just however you do that, just receive the grace of God. And I feel like for some of you, he's highlighting specific images or memories and he's like, I've got grace there too. I've got grace there too. I've got grace for that relationship. Grace for how you feel like you blew it with that person there. There's grace there. There's grace there. There's grace there. It's like oil in an engine. It's empowering. It's allowing actually you to function where you weren't able to function before. Holy Spirit, we receive your grace. We receive forgiveness and wholeness and cleansing. And Father, in the same way that Emma can't do anything without her mom, Lord, I ask that you would do that with us, that you would make us so dependent on your grace, so dependent on this feeling of being honored by you, being loved by you. God, that we would not be able to live a day without your presence, without that sense of you. Jesus, I love that you made it really clear for us. You said to us, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And Lord, we recognize that if I cut myself off from you, I'm not going to bear any fruit. I'm not going to grow. And so, Lord, I'm dependent on you. I need to draw from you all that I need. Lord, I thank you that you call us valuable, that you honor us by your Spirit. Lord, that like Sarah said, you say, hey, the whole world is yours. It all belongs to you. It's everything is yours. You are royalty. You're galactic royalty. Not because you've earned it, just because that's who you are. And Lord, this week, as we leave this place, Lord, I ask that we would be meditating on the fact that you call us royalty. You call us valuable. I love that Psalm 84 says, the Lord bestows favor and honor. God, favor and honor you're giving to us in abundance. And Lord, we as a church, God, we pray for our city today and this weekend. And Father, with all the events happening this weekend, with the Dyke Parade yesterday and the parade today, Father, we ask that you would bless our city. God, we ask that you would give grace to our city, or that you would honor the people of our city. Lord, we repent on behalf of other churches and other people who have said they've spoken for you and have said anything but grace. God, we repent on behalf of those people. And instead, God, we as a church, we stand together and we say, Lord, let your love be revealed in our city like never before. God, to people who are broken, to people who are hungry and hurting, to Christians and non-Christians alike, God, would you reveal your love like never before in our city today? God, we pray for every person down at the parade. God, we ask that each person would sense your Spirit, God, that you'd be working in people's lives. And Father, for us who live in Toronto and who have friends in Toronto and who move among the communities of Toronto, God, I ask that you would give us opportunities to share love and grace. God, we want to make you famous, God, not for judgment, but for this awesome, incomparable grace that Ephesians says that was your plan all along. That's what we want to make you famous for, God. As your kids, would you help us to do that, Papa? Oh, thank you for your Spirit and for your goodness, God. We love you so much. We love that we can feed on you and be satisfied. So come, Papa. Satisfy each person's hearts today. The hunger in us for you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Papa. Lord, let this summer be a summer of being loved by you and being established in you and actually of roots going deep in your love. That's actually the picture that I keep seeing as I'm praying here. It's of my garden, but it's of the plants, just of their roots going really deep. And Father, would you do that with us? Would you cause our roots, so to speak, in you to go deep in your love, so we can always be drawing from you what we need, not affected by the outward circumstances, but deep, Father, in the secret place with you. Lord, let this summer be a summer of really pushing into the depths of you and being fed by you. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit and your presence this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Jim. Well, why don't you stand up and hug a few people? We didn't do that earlier. Yeah, we didn't have a chance to like welcome each other. It looks like most of our team is away this weekend because it's a long weekend. So find someone you don't know. Give them a hug. Thanks, guys. Bless you all.